Hi, listeners, and welcome to episode 13, titled, What's This About? I was driving home one day recently, and I had the car sound system playing tunes from a playlist on my phone. I can't remember what the song was, or even who the artist was, but for some reason, I noted that the band's name finished with the letters ER. I then thought of another band whose name finished with ER. I then thought of more bands and solo artists whose names ended with ER, or ERS. So one band member would be an ER, for example, a fighter of Foo, and with his bandmates they became Foo Fighters, or Chili Peppers, or Killers, or Swingers. You get the idea. Then my mind went to albums that ended with ER, including one of my all-time favourites, Kiss's Destroyer. In the Kiss album catalogue, there is also Hotter Than Hell, Rock and Roll Over, Music from the Elder, a compilation album titled Killers, and their most recent and probably final studio album, Monster. Okay, I thought this idea has legs for the rock curator and the rock show on City Park Radio and maybe even a book. And then I thought, okay, settle down. I had to start writing things down as they popped into my restless brain. Songs with titles with words ending in ER. There must be heaps of lovers, losers, rivers, songs about her, being together. I could go on forever. Then I thought of artists whose first or last names end with ER, and I'm sure there's Peters like Frampton and Gabriel and Chris. If you change it to Pete, you're out. Sorry, Pete Townsend. And Rogers, like Taylor, of which there are at least two who are both drummers. Hodgson, Daltrey. Sorry again, Pete Townsend. And the more impressive still, double-up names like Roger Waters, Walter Becker, Roger Glover. How about performers whose name has ER, who have song titles with ER words from albums with ER words in the title? How about Powderfinger with We Should Be Together Now, or Whatever Makes You Happy, from Odyssey number 5, or Brave Strangers, or Feel Like a Number, from Stranger in Town, by Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band. And you should see how many people involved in that album have ER names. There's a Roger, four Waters, presumably from the One Family, and a Carter on backing vocals, plus Don Felder of the Eagles contributed a guitar solo. Is ER just a really common suffix in English? And is it a really common end to both first names and surnames? If so, I haven't really noticed it until now. Is it overrepresented in the field of music, or just average? Does anyone have this answer? There's another one. Answer. Another is also another one. Follow me down the rabbit hole into what I now call the ER Project. This could take a while. Let's start by looking at solo performers. Let's start with a couple of rock legends, Tina Turner and Joe Cocker. According to Wikipedia, Turner is widely referred to as the Queen of Rock and Roll. Having sold over 100 million records worldwide, she is one of the best-selling recording artists of all time. She has received 12 Grammy Awards, which include 8 competitive awards, 3 Grammy Hall of Fame awards, and a Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award. Rolling Stone ranked her among the 100 greatest artists of all time and the 100 greatest singers of all time. She has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame and the St. Louis Walk of Fame. She was a two-time inductee into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with Ike Turner in 1991 and as a solo artist this year. She is also a 2005 recipient of the Kennedy Center Honors and the subject of the West End and Broadway musical Tina, the Tina Turner musical. Based on that, I think she comfortably makes my ER Hall of Fame. An interesting fact that you may or may not know involves Tina and the iconic dance for Nutbush City Limits, which gets a run at plenty of gatherings, including weddings and birthday parties. I'm a hopeless dancer, so I tend to avoid the Nutbush, the bus stop, Macarena, the Time Warp, even though they explain the moves in the lyrics, and most songs with a predetermined dance. Apparently, again according to Wikipedia, the dance emerged as the Nutbush in the 1970s disco era. The Nutbush particularly took off in Australia during the 1980s and is usually performed in schools, social gatherings and community events. The dance has gained such popularity in Australia that it has been implemented in some Australian states' curriculums. According to an article in the Sydney Morning Herald by Mary Ward on December 16, 2018, The Nutbush Dance is a uniquely Australian phenomenon. Turner's live renditions of the song have never featured the repetitive line dance. In fact, in a performance of the song on US late night variety show Midnight Special shortly after its 1973 release, the choreography on stage, full of arms and hips, could not have been further from the Nutbush we know today. Yet at some point in the years that followed, this line dance, performed to each compass point until all 3 minutes and 20 seconds of the song have run their course, emerged in Australian suburbia. With its steps and kicks, it has been suggested it was a modification of the Madison, a 1950s line dance, although the two are not particularly similar. Although Turner's song, the final single she produced with then-husband and collaborator Ike Turner, was only a moderate success in Australia, it peaked at number 14 when first released, and then a 1991 re-release made it to number 16, its associated, though unaffiliated, dance has become a party institution. Theories abound on the internet as to how this happened. One is that the dance was taught in primary schools in Queensland as part of the state's physical education curriculum. However, a spokesperson for the Queensland Curriculum and Assessment Authority says the dance has, quote, never been an official or mandated requirement in Queensland's physical education or dance curriculums, end quote. Instead, the decision to teach the dance in primary schools presumably came from individual teachers copying what they had seen in other schools. Another interesting Tina Turner fact is that one of her signature songs, a cover of Proud Mary, written by John Fogerty and recorded with his band Creedence Clearwater Revival, reached number 4 on the Billboard Hot 100 and won a Grammy Award, but didn't quite top the chart peak of Creedence's version, which reached number 2, the first of 5 singles to peak at number 2 for the group. Creedence also deserve a mention due to the ER in Clearwater. Let's now have a look at the Wikipedia entry for John Cocker OBE, better known as Joe Cocker. Most of his best-known singles were covers of songs by other artists, though he composed a number of his own songs for most of his albums as well, often in conjunction with songwriting partner Chris Stainton. His first album featured a recording of the Beatles' With a Little Help from My Friends, which brought him to near-instant stardom. The song reached number 1 in the UK in 1968, became a staple of his many live shows, including Woodstock and the Isle of Wight in 1969, The Party at the Palace in 2002, and was also known as the theme song for the TV series The Wonder Years. He continued his success with his second album, which included a second Beatles cover, She Came In Through the Bathroom Window. His 1974 cover of You Are So Beautiful reached number 5 in the US and became his signature song. Cocker's best-selling song was the US number 1, Up Where We Belong, a duet with Jennifer Warnes that earned a 1983 Grammy Award. He released a total of 22 studio albums over a 43-year recording career. In 1993, Cocker was nominated for the Brit Award for Best British Male. He was awarded a Bronze Sheffield Legends plaque in his hometown in 2007 and received an OBE the following year for services to music. He was ranked number 97 on Rolling Stone's 100 Greatest Singers list. This next story is quite well known, but given it is now 49 years ago and quite a few listeners may be well and truly younger than that, this is for your benefit. In October 1972, when Cocker toured Australia, he and 6 members of his entourage were arrested in Adelaide for possession of marijuana. The next day in Melbourne, assault charges were laid after a brawl at the Commodore Chateau Hotel, and the Australian Federal Police gave Cocker 48 hours to leave the country. This caused huge public outcry in Australia as Cocker was a high-profile overseas artist and had a strong support base. It sparked hefty debate about the use and legalisation of marijuana in Australia and gained Cocker the nickname the Mad Dog. Other solo artists and band members with ER in their surname, first name or both include Mick Jagger, Billy Squire, Alice Cooper, Don Walker, Jason Bieler, Frank Carter from Frank Carter and the Rattlesnakes, Andy Sturmer, Roger Manning, Jason Faulkner and Eric Dover, who are all members of Jellyfish, Jeff Skunk Baxter of Steely Dan and Doobie Brothers fame, Carl Palmer, Peter Green, Christopher Cross, Paul Weller, both Tommy Thayer and Eric Singer of Kiss, Peter Garrett, and both Walter Parazita and Peter Cetera of Chicago. In the Stray Cats, we had Brian Setzer and Lee Rocker, and Lee's real name is Leon Drucker, so he still would have made this list. There's Jonathan Mover, Johnny Thunders, Eddie Vedder, Stephen Adler, Tom Kiefer, Kevin Parker, Rivers Cuomo of Weezer, so both the singer and the band qualify, Alan Lancaster, Geezer Butler, probably not a nice guy to mention these days, but Gary Glitter, Mick Tucker, Bonnie Tyler, Tyler Bryant, Stephen Tyler and Joey Kramer of Aerosmith, Dave Kushner of Velvet Revolver, Carl Kippenberger of Shehad, who were temporarily known as Pacifier, and Andy Summers, who with Gordon Sumner, better known as Sting, made up two-thirds of the Police. There's also Noel and Liam Gallagher of Oasis, Edgar and Johnny Winter, Rick Derringer, Robert Palmer, Steve Miller, Ginger Baker, Roger Fisher of Heart, Steve Lukather of Toto, Dave Faulkner of the Hoodoo Gurus, and one of my favourite singers of all time, Robin Zander of Cheap Trick. So there's plenty out there, and I'm sure you can help me uncover some more by letting me know who I've missed. There's a challenge for you. Have you seen any of these performers in concert, and do you have any stories, I hear you ask? Well, I'm glad you asked. Going back through all the names mentioned so far, I've seen Foo Fighters, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Kiss, Steely Dan, Powderfinger, Bob Seger for one song as a guest of the Eagles, Alice Cooper, Jason Faulkner, Doobie Brothers, but not with Skunk Baxter, Fleetwood Mac, but not with Peter Green, Midnight Oil, Pearl Jam, Aerosmith, Guns N' Roses, but not with Steven Adler, Tame Impala, Weezer, The Sweet, Velvet Revolver, She Had / Pacifier, and The Police. So, some favourite concert moments from those artists. The Foo Fighters at the Hobart City Hall, full capacity 300 on a hot, sweaty February night in 1998. Red Hot Chili Peppers in Brisbane, which wasn't one of my favourite set lists, but I remember the crowd going wild for the opening act, local up-and-comers Regurgitator. Doing a meet-and-greet with Kiss in Sydney, and particularly having my photo taken with Gene without his makeup on, and years before that, the reunion tour, possibly my favourite concert experience ever. Seeing Steely Dan at a day on the green in Victoria with Steve Winwood as a support act. Powderfinger at Gone South at Inverness Rail Yards in Launceston in 1999. Bob Seger performing Heartache Tonight with the Eagles at LA's Dodger Stadium. Alice Cooper in my own city at Launceston Silver Dome twice. Jason Faulkner signing a CD for me at a uni night, also in Launceston. I think I was only one in the crowd who really knew who he was. The others were just there for the usual Wednesday uni night. Doobie Brothers as the first act at the Classic West concert at the aforementioned Dodger Stadium, and Fleetwood Mac headlining day two of that event. Standing for hours and then watching Midnight Oil at the aforementioned Silver Dome in 1985, I could hardly stand upright the next day. Pearl Jam fans pushing down the security fence to gain entrance to the Sydney Meyer Music Bowl in Melbourne. Aerosmith signing my tour program at an in-store at a record store in Sydney on the Pump Tour. Guns N' Roses on a 40-degree day in Sydney and then a cooler day in Adelaide on the same tour, with a reformed Axl hitting the stage ahead of time, particularly in Adelaide. Tame Impala at the last of the Big Day Out concerts at the Gold Coast, the song Apocalypse Dreams washing over me and bringing me close to tears. Weezer doing a sterling job opening for the Foo Fighters in Sydney. Island in the Sun in particular was superb. My childhood heroes, The Sweet, well, two of the four originals anyway, at Launceston's Albert Hall. Velvet Revolver was Scott Weiland dominating the stage at Melbourne's Vodafone Arena in 2005. For those who don't know, Velvet Revolver was a supergroup consisting of Scott Weiland from Stone Temple Pilots, Matt Sorum, Slash and Duff from Guns N' Roses, and the lesser-known Dave Kushner. They were a great band. John Toogood of She Had charging around the stage at Gone South Festival in Launceston so excitedly that he unplugged his guitar and had a roadie chasing after him to plug it back in while he was still on the move. The crowd genuflecting to cricket legend Shane Warne at the Police concert at the MCG on Australia Day 2007, and just being on the MCG surface itself, watching my heroes, The Police, in the first place. The first two cassettes I ever owned were the first two Police albums. So that gives you a little taste of the start of the ER project, performers in this episode, and then in the next episode, I'll look at song titles and album titles. Thanks for listening in. Catch you again soon.